thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally here, my boy Ray Jeezy. We'll tease out. What's good, Ray?
I'm good. What's up with you?
Not much, man. You know what? Last week, I did my WNBA support. I went to my first WNBA finals, championship finals, and they got eliminated by the Storm.
Oh, you rode all the way out to Georgia?
Yeah, I went to support the girls, man.
So you went as a fan?
Yeah, I went as a fan.
Oh, okay.
As a fan.
It was a good crowd.
Yeah, it really was.
I couldn't make it. Just too much going on, but great year for the Mystics, great year for monumental sports, as many writers have been pointing out. Mm-hmm. The Capitals and Mystics reaching the finals, it should be inspiring to other DC franchise. We'll see if that translates.
Shots fired.
No, I'm just saying. I'm talking about the Wizards too. I'm not talking about just the Washington football team.
But no, it still was cool though. It was cool to see that experience, to see everybody rallying.
Oh, the Storm was so much more athletic.
But they were so much better though.
So much more athletic. They were just so much more athletic.
You know what I mean? It's just and
they missed a lot of layups.
They did. Breonna Stewart went ham too. She's super talented, man.
She is, but she is one of those people, like, as far as guys basketball, like Zion Williams, when we talked about him, if he's knocking down a J, he's gonna be scary.
Yeah,
when Breonna Stewart's knocking down threes, it's hard to stop.
Yeah, I agree. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and Google Play. Search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Usually, Will T would say this. Let's get into our tradition.
You got to find something else when he's not here, man. That voice is killing me.
That's awesome, man. The voice is awesome, man. Don't do that, man. We'll talk about the Washington Reds. Here are our topics. We'll talk about the Washington Redskins losing to the Colts 21-9. At 8:20, we'll talk about the Redskins' upcoming game against the Green Bay Packers. At 8:30, we'll make our Week 3 NFL picks. At 8:40, host of the Quarterly Report podcast, Armon Lee, will join the show to talk about Canelo defeating Triple G, becoming the unified middleweight champion. Finally, at 8:50, we'll discuss the potential of Mayweather-Pacquiao 2. But first, at FedEx Field, the Redskins took an L to the Colts 21-9. What were your thoughts on the game?
My initial thoughts were the Colts defense was just flying around. Mm-hmm. They looked athletic. They looked fast. They closed quickly, because if you watch Adrian Peterson had some big holes to run through, and they seemed to close so fast. And it was like, wow, is this some type of new Colts defense that Chuck Pagano didn't have last season? Because I didn't see this. Even last week against Cincinnati, I didn't see this defense play to this level. Mm-hmm. And then the Washington DBs, I felt like, were the letdown of the defense. The defense overall played well enough for the team to win. Mm-hmm. The linebacking corps played well, in my opinion. Yeah. I know you're not the biggest fan of the linebacking corps. Zach Brown always plays well, mm-hmm. in my opinion. And even Mason Foster, I think, in terms of run defense, played good. The DBs were not covering very well. You tweeted right away, T.Y. Hilton is giving Josh Norman work. And I think that set the tone early in the game.
I think that when we were talking about the DBs, I thought T.Y. Hilton was giving Norman the business. And again, I mean, T.Y. Hilton is a talented, you know, corner, a talented wide receiver. But when you pay a guy like Josh Norman money, the money that he is, that he, you know, that he receives, one, you want to see him follow the best wide receiver. He didn't do that often at times in that game, but when he did match up against T.Y. Hilton, man up. I think T.Y. Hilton got the best of him. But I also had issues with, you know, Jay Gruden a little bit. They didn't feature Adrian Peterson enough to me. 11 carries isn't a good number for Adrian Peterson. We've seen Adrian Peterson in the past. He's always been a running back that got better as the game went on. So not giving him touches early, to me, wasn't a good thing. And I don't want to hear that, oh, he wasn't effective early. Look at what the Rams did with Ty Gurley. Ty Gurley had 19 carries for 42 yards, but the Rams still continue to feed the beast. So I want to hear that because Adrian Peterson wasn't effective early in the run game, that you just had to stop giving him the ball. 11 carries just isn't cool to me, especially if you're trying to build a ball control style of offense, which we saw them do against the Arizona Cardinals.
I felt as though the team stuck with the run. I don't know if, you know, you paid attention in years past. Mm-hmm. They would abandon the run if it just didn't seem effective.
11 carries, ain't sticking with the run.
Just for Adrian Peterson alone.
Yeah, I mean,
Chris
Thompson didn't get that many. Like, they didn't stick with the run. Like, well, you're getting 11 carries.
I will have to look back at time of possession and things of that nature to see how long they had the ball. Most people, or the consensus is that the offense lost the game. DJ Swearinger gives you two big turnovers.
You can't cash in. Agree.
But right now, it looks like this team is lacking a number one receiver after two games in. And that's a challenge going forward. You bring in two guys this week, which I think we'll talk about.
Yeah, we'll talk about.
But do you still need a number one receiver? Right now, you don't have that guy.
I mean, they want to feature
Jordan Reed.
And you want to feature Jordan Reed. That's one of the best tight ends in football. You know, the whole notion that you need a number one wide receiver to, you know, to win a championship, we've seen the Patriots do, I mean, basically not need them.
They're always the exception to the rule.
Yeah, there are other teams that don't have. Look, as good as Odell Beckham is, how many times has he been to the Super Bowl or even been into the playoffs to a point where you looked at the Giants as a true contender? Or even, I mean, in terms, like, because you get this number all the time, like, okay, what number one wide receiver has been to the Super Bowl on his own merit alone?
Oh yeah, I'm not gonna disagree with you, bro. But here's the thing: you just hit on an important point. If you're struggling to run the football, you need your receiving quarterback.
No, I totally agree. I'm just saying, but again, then that's on Jay Gruden. And I like Jay Gruden. I don't want anybody to think that I don't like Jay Gruden. I like Jay Gruden. But at the same time, you have to see what has worked for your team. In Arizona, you were stubborn to run the football. You ran Chris Thompson. You ran Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson against the Arizona Cardinals had 27 carries. 11 carries. And then on a third and one play, you give the ball to Chris Thompson on a stretch play when you have a power back in Adrian Peterson. I think in this game, Jay Gruden and his staff, they got too cute in this game rather than playing effective football, trying to do whatever it takes to, you know, to move the chains and actually dominate this game. They wanted to play cute football.
Maybe preparation wasn't the best. The team just came out flat, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
But still, defense made two crucial plays that could have changed the landscape of the game. I don't know necessarily if you can blame, you know, some of the lack of execution on Jay Gruden, but you're just saying play calling was questionable. Mm-hmm. And I can't necessarily disagree. A lot of things went wrong. Expectations were somewhat high after a good showing in Arizona. But Arizona, look at what they achieved this past week.
Yeah,
they didn't score a touchdown. This is the second week in a row.
And the Rams is mean, though. But you're right.
The Rams are good, but even the Raiders, with their struggles and being in kind of a transition phase,
mm-hmm.
the Raiders played them pretty well through the first half. They were leading them at halftime. So
that was in L.A. That was in Oakland, though, right?
Don't matter.
No, it does matter sometimes. Some teams play better on the road than at home, bro.
Arizona played horrible against the Redskins at home.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Arizona might not be the team we thought they were coming
into
the season.
Yeah, that's true.
So maybe that wasn't a good measuring stick. Maybe this game was. Maybe this is a good thing in the sense that, you know, Aaron Rodgers is coming to town. And if you had a difficulty stopping Andrew Luck, that's just coming off, felt like 2 years layoff, not that long, but you know what I mean.
Yeah,
just all that season.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to alter your game plan big time.
You have to
prepare better this week for Aaron Rodgers.
And you saw, again, which gave this secondary fits and issues was like the rub plays. They ran pick plays, and they just didn't adjust. And I think that's the issue that a lot of pundits, when they watch the game against the Washington Redskins, you see that this team, like, can't adjust. Like, if you're a Redskins fan, you watch somebody like a Joe Gibbs, right? And Joe Gibbs has always been, like, let's go Joe Gibbs, you know, early Joe Gibbs, 1.0, whatever. Joe Gibbs made great halftime adjustments. You see what Coach Gruden at times when you watch, you know, in the second half after kind of getting beat in the first half, you're like, dude, you haven't changed anything up. You haven't made any adjustments. I get that certain offensive coordinators, head coaches are stubborn and they want to stick with their game plan and not want to change it up once something looks like it's not working. They just want to stay the course. But at times, you got to change up, bro.
Is Jay Gruden a problem? That's the question.
Mm-hmm.
On offense, the offense has put up big numbers since he's been the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have McVay out in L.A.,
mm-hmm.
and his team has put up big numbers because he has the talent.
Yeah.
Is that the difference? I don't know. It will be determined, I think, this season.
Yeah.
Last season, team still did pretty well, but offense struggled in the red zone, which was the same case out of McVay, so we didn't know if there was a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some are looking at the comparison, like maybe Jay Gruden is the issue, maybe he needs to be a coordinator. As far as defense goes, who does that lie on? Is that on Gruden, or is that on your D coordinator? Is that on the players? Because These guys have to go out and execute. You're paying Josh Norman, as you mentioned. Quinn Dunbar, you had confidence in training camp that he was the guy.
He didn't play. He didn't look bad.
He played okay.
Yeah, he played bad.
And I think they tackled halfway decent.
I had more of an issue against the run. Again, and also the pass rush. And we can talk about that too. At the same, like the Colts were missing their starting left tackle. And they got no pressure. The Redskins got no pressure.
But that was a huge issue. And you cannot have that problem coming up this week.
Exactly. You got a gimpy A-Rod who's gonna be a statue in the pocket. Well, it's supposed to be a statue in the pocket, but that doesn't matter. His arm strength is awesome. He's accurate. So they need to get to A-Rod. They can't give him any time in the pocket. So do you think the Skins came into the game overconfident?
I would say yes, because you're playing a team at home, your home opener, a team, the Colts, that didn't have much success last season. They lost the heartbreakers, like kick a man, water down. Mm-hmm. You also, you have a quarterback who is still trying to shake off some rust. Mm-hmm. You have to seize that opportunity to start 2-0. Mm-hmm. Win the games you're supposed to win, mm-hmm. period.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think you definitely have to win. Look, at the end of the day, this team doesn't handle prosperity well. We've seen it in the past. And I think a guy I want to say the whole team, because I feel like you mentioned this guy, DJ Swearinger. I feel like DJ Swearinger, always, he's a stand up guy. He's a guy that respects his opponent and feels like that his team can lose any given Sunday. So he practiced hard and he plays hard. And you've seen him say it in the past, like, hey, I don't think we practicing hard enough. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He's a guy that I feel like he always takes his opponent serious. And I wish that some of his teammates would have the same mindset that he has. Because that's why you see this guy get two interceptions in the game. You know what I mean? That's what, because he's paying attention. He's been watching film. He's taking his opponent serious.
That's interesting, because I can't point out anyone else that I don't feel was giving maximum effort. Kerrigan always brings it.
Yeah, he does. But it's like
Josh Norman usually is somebody who brings it. I think he's starting to run out of gas, mm-hmm. unfortunately. Maybe his best days are behind him. And I'm hoping that criticism such as this, which is mild in comparison to some of the things I've read, will motivate him, because he's one that he develops an edge if you talk negative to him or about him.
He does.
You saw that Raiders game last year when he was trash talked, how he responded.
To Amari Cooper and Crabtree, right?
Even though they said that he sort of overstated what was said. But still, regardless, he's got to be one of your leaders. And outside of DJ Swearinger, who told us personally, I'm trying to bite my tongue a little bit. Guys didn't take well to my leadership style.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Who's going to be the leader of this team and this defense in particular?
Well, I think it's DJ Swearinger. But who's going to it's up to his teammates to copy what he's doing. You know what I mean? Like, he's a guy that, to me, you see it, that he respects his opponent. And the other guys, after the Arizona game, they just felt like, hey, we top flight. We this, we that. Like, you can say all that, but you still got to truthfully respect your opponent. You have to feel that you can lose to anybody. And I heard Doc Walker, a guy, a radio personality, he stated this, and I totally agree. When you see the Redskins on your schedule, you look at them like a W. The Colts look at the Redskins like, okay, we can beat the Redskins. That's a W.
That's what I said. The way the Colts came out looking absolutely amazing on defense.
Yeah.
And
they didn't look that good against Cincinnati.
No.
They didn't. Yeah.
And Andrew Luck having all day to throw, the receivers wide open, and then the running game on first and second down, you're giving up too many yards. To be honest, Washington, they had some third and shorts. They didn't get I think neither team had the best percentage on third down. Mm-hmm. But if you had to pick the more effective team, obviously
it was the Colts. It was the Colts, definitely. So Josh Dobson had four catches for 37 yards in this game. Earlier in the game, he had a key drop. Do you think it's time to end the whole Josh Dobson experience?
Now, I was extremely frustrated with him, especially that ball in the end zone that I felt like he should have went.
So you thought he should have called that? I don't think so. He got up there, and a dude, I mean, he wouldn't even have it. Like, if you look at it in slow motion, and we talked about it in the press box, like, he wouldn't even got his feet in bounds. Everyone acts like he wouldn't even have his feet in bounds.
Well, I guess he could have made an adjustment. Okay. Because that was one play, and it was another play. It wasn't him, though.
You're talking about the pass. They know he had a play.
Yeah, somebody didn't come back for it. Was it him?
No, that was Chesson.
Oh, okay.
That was Chesson. The play that I had an issue with is the deep corner route But Alex Smith hit him with a deep corner route, and he just dropped it. He just Josh Dotson just dropped it.
Oh, yeah. It was two or three crucial drops. But I felt as though a legit number one receiver with his athletic ability should have been able to make an adjustment
and
go get the football. That's my problem. And I just don't see it from him. I don't see the I'm a passion guy. I don't get that feeling that he wants it.
He wants to be really
seeing him
to be great.
Seeing him close up,
mm-hmm.
and also seeing, you know, these first two games this season, right now I'm struggling to find that fire in him. And the reason why I also point out is too because there were rumblings, as we found out at training camp, that the injury he sustained wasn't that significant, but he almost wanted to come out of practice. It's like, come on, man, you got to be out to prove something.
See, I still kind of, I believe in Josh Dotson because I respect the talent. I do think he's an ultra talented kid. But again, I mentioned that deep corner route pass in the second quarter. Like, that's a play you need to make if you want to be number one. So I agree with you. Like, you have to make that play. You know what I mean? If we talk about being a number one wide receiver, then you got to make that play. Because if you don't make that play, then you're basically to me a number two slot, fourth wide receiver. You know what I mean? You're not a guy that you could be that a quarterback can rely on. You got to make that pass. It's over with the whole dropping easy passes. Like, that should be done. That should be done with. All right. It's time to make more spectacular catches and being a guarantee making the easy catch.
In his defense, he missed a lot of time. Mm-hmm. He's still young.
Mm-hmm.
So you may have to allow him to develop over the course of time. Yeah. Just bottom line.
No, I mean, yeah. Sometime,
and right now, the fan base isn't patient. The fan base isn't showing up, as we're going to discuss.
Yeah. I ain't patient enough, to be honest with you. So the Skins have signed, the Skins have signed Michael Floyd. He used to play for the wide receiver for the Arizona Cardinals. Mm-hmm. And former Baltimore Raven wide receiver Bashaud Perriman. Do you think this is a better play over signing a Dez Bryant?
No, I would take Dez, and I would run the risk of Dez coming into the locker room and not fracturing it, but motivating it.
Okay.
I would love for him and Norman to be on the same team and they motivate each other. I would love him to rub somebody the wrong way. Mm-hmm. Maybe he could light a fire under Josh Dotson. Why are you bringing these two guys? I really like Michael Floyd.
I'm not going to lie to you. Perriman, I don't even care for it. But I've always liked Michael Floyd. Michael Floyd is...
You can like him all you want, but
he's got talent.
Is he the answer?
Well, Michael Floyd, the only thing that ruined Michael Floyd, to be real with you, is the alcohol, to be real with you. Like, you wouldn't think that Michael Floyd had a 1,000-yard season. Yeah, he had a 1,000-yard season in Arizona in 2013. He had two 800-plus yard
seasons. His numbers
seasons.
Don't compare to Dez's.
No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying he's young. He's 28. He's cheaper. I mean, he's a guy with potential. He's not a bum. Like Perriman is a bum. Like, let's keep it 100. Like, he's a bum. He's a bum. But Michael Floyd has always been a talented wide receiver. He played alongside Larry Fitzgerald. So think about it. To play alongside Larry Fitzgerald and still put up over 1,000 yards, you're a talented dude because Larry Fitzgerald was getting most of the target.
The question was, though, does that make more sense
than
Dez?
No, I would take Dez.
Of course. Thank you. No matter what you say, Dez, again, we could look at his numbers. I'm not even going to compare the numbers.
Yeah.
Also, Dez wants... He wants to be in the NFC East.
No, he does.
And this is why he tweeted, Washington looks good too.
Yeah, but you don't know what the money that Dez is asking for. Maybe they don't feel like paying for a Dez Bryant. And I'll say this on the flip side too. Maybe they don't want the look of having the old school Redskins type of moniker. Let's just pay aging superstar players and bring him in DC. And if it doesn't work out, you know, it's always going to be like, oh, here goes the Redskins again. Here they go, trying to get an all-star lineup.
Listen here.
The Bruce Smiths of the world.
Dez will put butts in the seats.
Exactly, but would that give you W's? That's the point. Will that get you W's? Would that get you quality play?
It's much better than what you have now. It is. And I don't think there's anybody who would go there as far as, oh, this is typical or old Dan Snyder coming out, because it's a need. You're not just trying to go throw a bunch of money at the best player in free agency. It is a serious, serious need. Versus in the past, like when you signed Albert Haynesworth, mm-hmm. the team had a bunch of needs and they just put all their money into this one guy.
So real quick, speaking of, you know, the attendance, we mentioned that a little bit. No one was really at the game. Like the Reds, like FedEx was not jam packed. We're talking about the season opener in terms of a home game. And no one was in attendance. What do you think has caused that, man? What do you think? What's the reason for that?
people are not going to continue to pay for a team that's not producing. It's been too long. And then the Capitals winning, I think, really hurt. You got to now you have a winner. You can relax. This is and was a football town. And the hope was that the Washington football team would be the ones to be able to break through and get that championship drought ended. But thankfully, the Capitals did that. Sports fans are much happier in town. And the Nationals, while they're not having, obviously, the season they intended, there's still another option. So people are going to monitor, okay, am I going to put my money here still? I know multiple, and you probably do too, season ticket holders that said, nah, I just can't do this no more. For years, they were hanging on to it. That waiting list was so off the chain, and many who wanted season tickets thought they would never be able to get them. Another thing is, Dan Snyder has made upgrades to improve the fan experience, right? So now you have people just hanging out, watching Red Zone channel, not even trying to pay close attention to every detail of the team that's right in front of them. Winning cures all. That's how you look at it. And they're going to have to win because this is one of the most passionate fan bases in the league. How do we know that? Most recent evidence, when Daryl Green and Art Monk were inducted into the Hall of Fame, you saw the amount of fans that traveled to Canton and showed that support, which says this fan base is right up there with the Cheeseheads and the Steel Curtain.
Well, the fan base will be tested. A-Rod is next. And you know the Packers, they travel. The Packers fans travel. So travel big time.
It'll be looking like Lambeau.
It should look like. I think so, too. Kind of do. Do you think the Skins have a chance to win that game? We'll discuss that after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces.
Go-go is in effect. Rest in peace, Chuck Brown.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Wally, Ray, Will Tease out. The Redskins have the undefeated Packers, you know, coming to town. They're 1-0-1. They have a tie against the Vikings. What do they need? I'm talking about the Redskins. What do they need to do to improve on their chances in this game compared to what they, you know, some of the issues they had last week?
I'm going to throw this question back to you pretty much. It's a statement and a question at the same time, if that makes sense.
That makes sense.
It starts with Jay Gruden. Can he outcoach Mike McCarthy?
He did that 2 years ago, I want to say, in that big primetime game where Kirk Cousins had a phenomenal game. He can do it. I don't think the Packers defense is as strong. Defense is not as strong.
But he is the Colts.
Yeah, he is the Colts. Yeah, exactly. That's a very good point. But it goes to the point. It goes to the whole thought process of does this team respect the Packers enough? And I think they'll be the underdog. And for some strange reason, I just feel like the Redskins play better when no one gives them any credit, when they have to go into a situation where, you know, the opposition is the team that seems like the more dominant ones, and the Redskins shouldn't even be on the same field with them. And then everybody plays to their level and plays to the capability that they need to play all 16. For some strange reason, they just don't do it that way.
That's funny. Just a side note, my son and I, we watched Alabama over the weekend. Yeah. Alabama was obviously dominant.
Yeah. Very dominant. They're always dominant.
Sunday, we watching the Redskins, and my son basically said, he's only 5. Yeah. The Redskins need some players from Alabama. Alabama can beat the Redskins.
They have players from Alabama. They're trying to make their team Alabama.
It's so hilarious how, even though obviously he's young, he made an observation that this is what you need to look like to win. You know that song is still playing, right?
It's okay. It's still playing. It's in the background.
Yeah, it's all right.
You can barely hear it.
But getting back to the keys to victory against this Green Bay. And I want not recent years, but in maybe distant memory.
Mm-hmm. They haven't. They've always had a high pressure defense, but never dominant.
Another
defense.
Weakness, in my opinion, of the team is their running game. They don't have the greatest running game.
No, they don't. But the Colts didn't have a great running back game, and they ran well against the Redskins.
See, I mean, we just gonna keep firing off Colts stuff, then the Redskins don't have a chance. I'm serious. I remember we had a discussion about the Redskins starting backfield, and you and Will, like, would you feel comfortable if Fat Rob and Samaje Perine was your two-star running back? Yeah, and I'm like, nah, of course not. But who are the Packers running backs?
Yeah. The Montgomery.
You feel comfortable with that tandem?
No, I wouldn't.
Tandem?
I wouldn't.
That shows that, again, there's a weakness on this team. They obviously make up for it in Aaron Rodgers.
Of course.
He's
amazing.
He's one of the top, if not top two, top three quarterbacks in the league. I don't know who you can put in front of him outside of maybe Brady.
He's only been to one Super Bowl. A-Rod.
I mean, does that matter though? Because you can't put Russell Wilson in front of Russell Wilson.
No, I think A-Rod's like, I'm real talk. I think A-Rod's like the probably one of, I mean, he's definitely one of the best. I'm not taking that away from him. He's an accurate passer. You can just, with the eye test, you know how good A-Rod is.
But yeah, anyway, top one, two quarterback.
Yeah, exactly.
That's where obviously the gap is bridged. And I don't know. I'm wondering if Washington is going to try to largely game plan to make him, I guess, as much as a non-factor as possible, mm-hmm. which is basically saying we need to contain him.
Yeah. The question again is, what do you need to improve? What do the Redskins need to improve on have a chance in this game against the Packers? Tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Also respond to us on our Facebook page. On Twitter, Chris Brown said, it all starts with both lines. O-line needs to allow more holes in the run game and not allow pressure off the edge and up the gut like Sunday. And D-line has to pressure A-Rod themselves so we can keep coverage on the back end. If they don't, A-Rod will eat us alive. I agree.
It comes down to coaching, too. Mm-hmm. You got to dial up the right blitz packages, and you have to be creative because A-Rod Reed's defense is really good.
Easily. And to me, I just feel like, one, you're talking about coaching. Gruden has to feed AP, so we can keep A-Rod off the field. It's got to be a ball control type of strategy.
I agree, but I liked Alex Smith. He took chances in this game.
Yeah, I'm not knocking the fact that he was
attempting to go downfield, and his passes were accurate. Yeah. He doesn't have much help right now.
Yeah. They didn't help him out against the Colts. They didn't.
You're gonna have to come fired up for this.
A-Rod versus Alex Smith. Talking about
the 49ers, though.
49ers, yeah, and the Chiefs. I'm saying, but you're right, 49ers.
It's a big difference.
Yeah, and he beat him in the postseason.
That's why the fans aren't in the stadium, because this team is different.
I'm just saying that he has a winning record against A-Rod, which is a good thing. If you're a Redskins fan looking for hope, you know that this guy won. We talked about his track record in season openers. He played well in the season opener. Then he's playing A-Rod, and he has a winning track record.
Look,
that doesn't matter, right? We're talking about the Redskins that look bad in season openers against lesser competition. The Miami Dolphins came to FedEx in the season opener and beat them. So I'm just saying, like, if you look at Alex Smith, his track record, he's had a winning record against A-Rod. So for Redskins fans, that is hope for you. I'm giving you hope. Ray's trying to take it away from you. I'm trying to give you hope.
Who has a better receiver core, Green Bay or Washington?
A-Rod makes that receiving core. I don't really think of their receiving core as anything potent. I think you give A-Rod the Redskins receiving core, they're putting up stats too. Because it's A-Rod. They had a kid named Janice put up stats with A-Rod.
Here's the thing that's scary. And I know we talked about the difference between road and home. Minnesota Vikings, one of the better defenses in the league, mm-hmm. right now.
Couldn't do nothing with them.
Couldn't stop.
A hobbled A-Rod, right. Y'all. A hobbled A-Rod.
And see, here is another key point. Is you got to wrap up. Mm-hmm. If you have your hands on Aaron Rodgers, you have to get him down.
You got to.
Because I watched last season in the season opener, mm-hmm. Carson Wentz just shaking out
there
of tackles,
mm-hmm.
extending plays, and Aaron Rodgers, he's hobbled, so he doesn't want to run. You know that.
Yeah.
But if he gets outside the pocket, you're in trouble, especially with a team right now that can't seem to cover one-on-one.
I wouldn't say all that. They can't cover one-on-one. They ran zone. It was more zone than anything, right?
Okay. There was some serious breakdowns.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was more than one-on-one. It was more
zone. Do you pay attention to Quinn Dunbar and Josh Norman in one-on-one?
Yeah, I do. I was watching it all day. We talked about it in press. Yeah.
And they covered well.
Dunbar covered well one on one. Now, when you asked me for Norman, I told you the truth. Norman did not. Dunbar covered well in the one on one. If you're talking about some of the zone plays, some of that was zone. It wasn't one on one.
I'm not gonna argue there. We'll see what he's made of this week. Yeah. Point blank. Let's see how good he covers one on one this week. Yeah, when Aaron Rodgers gets out of the daggone pocket.
All right, we will make our week 3 NFL picks after a break. You listen to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You
Kendall dig? Fuller was in Pittsburgh doing big things too, by the way.
Big pimping, baby. That's right. Big pimping, spinning cheese. You know I thug them, hug them, love them, leave them, but I don't trust or need them. Take them out the hood, keep them looking good, with diamond cuts that'll freeze them. First time they fuss, I'm breezing, talk about what's the reasons. I'm a pimpin' every sense in the word, mama, better trust and believe them. In the cut where I keep them, till I need the word, till I need to beat it up, then it's BB, then I'm picking them up, then I play with it quick in the truck. Many chicks wanna put jigger piston cuffs, divorce them and split his bucks. Just because you got good sex, I'ma break bread so you could be living it up. I pass with nothing, y'all be frontin'. Me give my heart to a woman, not for nothing, never happen. I be forever macking, hard codes and assassins. I got no passion, I got no patience, and I hate waiting. Mommy, get your cuffs in here, let's ride. Check them out now. Ride, let's ride. Check them out now.
Kendall Fuller was balling.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Ray, Wally, Wilty's out. Check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. It's a great show. Actually, we've been having our weekly pick'em challenge. What was the record last week? I'm trying to look that up. All right, last week Ray went 10-5-1. Will T and I went 8-7-1. From the Football Garbage Time, Scott and Ryan went 9-6-1. Joanne went 10-5-1. Hakun Wong went 8-7-1. George, our loyal listener, who's also in this group, he went 8-7-1. Here are our overall records in terms of the Urban Sports Scene. I'm in first place, proud of that, 18-12-1. Ray and Will are tied at 17-13-1.
We're separated by a good game. One game, that's going to change because you never picked Dallas.
What are you talking about?
You and us. No, all of us, we're separated by one game.
No, you and Will T are tied.
Right, and you're...
I'm sorry.
That's going to change because you never
Dallas. So,
but I thought the Giants were better than what they were, though.
The Giants were horrible.
And Dak is not.
He's not that. But he's
not that guy.
He's not that guy. He's really not that guy. I'm going to name Will's picks last, and then I don't feel like searching, going back and forth. So Jets versus Browns.
I'll take the Browns.
I'm going to take the Browns. Packers versus the Redskins.
Going with the Packers.
I am going with the Redskins. Colts versus the Eagles.
I'll take the Eagles. My man, Carson Wentz is returning. I might start him in fantasy this week in one of my leagues.
Real people do real things. I'm taking the Colts. Yeah, I'm taking the Colts. Bills versus the Vikings.
Vikings all day.
Yeah, Vikings. Tyrod Taylor should still be the quarterback in Minnesota. I mean, in Buffalo. Raiders versus the Dolphins.
I'll take Gruden in this one.
You take Gruden?
Yeah.
I am going to take the Dolphins. Titans versus the Dolphins. I'm sorry. Yeah, Titans versus the Dolphins.
You said Dolphins versus Raiders.
Oh, you know what? I had the wrong. Hold on. Let me look this up. Sure, dude. Sure.
Awesome.
Sorry, Titans. It's Titans, Jack. We'll go back. I know what it is. Broncos versus the Ravens.
Where's the game?
In Baltimore.
I will take the Ravens.
Sorry, Titans versus Jaguars.
Jaguars.
Yeah, I'm taking the Jags as well.
I'm confused.
Me too. I'm confused too. I'm confusing myself. Bengals versus the Panthers.
Cincy.
Yeah, I'm going to Bengals. Giants versus the Texans.
Texans.
Niners versus the Chiefs. I'm sure I'm missing something.
I'll take the Chiefs.
I will take I'm taking the Chiefs. That's not a hard one. Chargers versus the Rams.
Ooh, give me the Rams.
Yeah, give me the Rams. I ain't stupid. Cowboys, Seahawks. Stupid. I ain't doing that crap.
This is in Seattle, right?
This is in Seattle.
Yeah, Seattle gets their first one.
Yeah, I'm going Seattle. Bears versus the Cardinals.
The Bears.
Yeah, I'm going with the Cardinals. Yeah, going to Cardinals. Real people do real things. Patriots versus the Lions.
Khalil Mack. Who? My bad. Lions versus who? Patriots?
Yeah. Patriots versus the Lions.
Give me the Patriots.
Yeah, Patriots. Man, Lions suck. Steelers versus the Buccaneers.
I'll take the Buccaneers.
I am taking the Bucs. I'm trying to look if I missed anything. Oh, I'm sorry. I did miss one. Saints versus Atlanta.
Give me the Falcons.
Give me the Falcons. Give me the Falcons. How did I miss that one? I don't trust me. Let me look at this over again. All right. Good. Good. Good.
Here's the thing.
Good. We're good.
Whenever you're picking these guys, I didn't pick any real upsets today because, you know, like I guess the Browns is technically an upset.
Eh, not really.
The Browns look
The Jets ain't looked that good last game. It's not really an upset. It's pretty like in the middle. Let me read Will T's picks.
Okay.
All right. Will T, he picked the Browns, the Falcons, the Dolphins, the Vikings, the Eagles, the Packers, the Bengals, the Jaguars, the Broncos, the Texans, the Chargers, the Bears,
the Broncos to beat the Ravens,
Seahawks,
in Baltimore,
and the Patriots.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Bro, people do real things. Will T, he's finally going hard, man. He's going hard in the paint, man. That's Will T, man. But anyway, Canelo defeated Triple G to become the unified middleweight champ. Could we see a part three? Armon Lee from the Quarterly Report podcast will join us to discuss this after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene for Ages. You dig? Deuces.
Come on, man. And with the local DBC news, LL Cool J with the 12th and comeback. But tonight, don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my pants. What's up with the fear? Making the tears rain down like a monsoon. Listen to the bass go boom, explosion. Overpowering, over the competition. I'm towering, wreck his shot. When I drop these lyrics that'll make you call the cops. Don't you dare stare. You better move. Don't ever compare me to the rest that are all get sliced and diced. Competition's paying the price.
You listening to the mine that came off easy. You listening to the Urban Sports.
Hey.
You listen to the Urban Sports scene with myself, Wally, Ray, Will T's out. I know, right? Right now we have host of the Quarterly Report podcast, Armon Lee on the line. What's going on, Armon?
What's going on, Wally, man? How you doing, bro?
Everything's good. I got my man Ray with me last time I was doing the show solo, you know, but I got my homeboy with me.
What's going on, man?
Armon, hey, man, you probably don't know who I am, or you might not recognize me, but the last time you were on the Roundball Report, I was there. I was just behind the scenes at the time. We were talking, or you all were talking, Ernie Grunfeld. That's a whole other show in itself, but good to have you on.
Okay. Hey, man, next time I'm up there, man, we're going to have to break it down.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. But again, man, glad to have you.
Oh, man, as always, I had a ball last week, man, and you know, more boxing happened this past weekend, so I'm excited to get to it.
All right, bet. So on Saturday, by unanimous decision, Canelo Alvarez defeated Gennady Golovkin to become the unified middleweight champion. What were your thoughts on the fight, and did you agree with the decision?
Yeah, man. So I remember watching the fight initially and thinking, okay, you know, we got another really, really fun middleweight fight. I thought the second version was better than the original, and the original I was a huge fan of. Mm-hmm. But much like the original, it was a close fight. I thought this fight was closer in terms of a harder fight to score. Mm-hmm. I actually had Canelo winning by one round. I thought heading into the 12th round, I was like, okay, you know, this is going to be tough here. And although Golovkin, you know, he did a lot of damage in that 12th round.
Okay.
When he busted open Golovkin, when Canelo busted open Golovkin again in the 12th round and started showing blood, I was like, okay, that probably is going to be the deciding factor. You know, fights are tough. Anytime there's a close fight, right? There are two types of close fights. You can see a fight where it's easy to decide who won which rounds, right? Of the 12 rounds, you just say, okay, this guy clearly dominated these six rounds. This fighter clearly dominated these other six rounds. And it's easy to be like, okay, the fight overall was close, but it's not all the rounds weren't hard to decide. But this fight, more so than the original, there were at least a handful of rounds where it literally could have gone either way. So while I thought Canelo won, I have no problem with anybody thinking Golovkin won because the fight was that close. But we got to stop with saying anytime. We talked about this last week, Wally. Anytime it's a close fight, we got to stop throwing the term robbery around, man, because it just muddies everything.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of conspiracy theories, unfortunately, and you saw Oscar De La Hoya address that in that letter yesterday, which I felt like was pretty accurate. Although me as a fight fan, I thought it was a draw.
Yeah.
And the 12th round is one of those rounds that could have went either way, which is very interesting. The interesting thing also is that Abel Sanchez thought that Triple G lost the 12th round, when many of us thought Triple G won.
Right.
That round.
Yeah, and that speaks exactly to what we're talking about. You know what I mean? Like.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many different ways to skin a cat when it comes to winning a fight. You know what I mean? Like, imagine you watching two fighters, right? And for two minutes of a round, fighter A is dominating, right? He's controlling the ring, cutting off, working the jab, combinations pure, making really clean shots, right? But in that last minute, fighter B lands the harder blow.
Yeah.
Rocks fighter A. He doesn't go down, but rocks, you can tell that he is hurt. So he starts clinching. And he started doing whatever he can do to survive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fighter A dominated that round. For two-thirds of that round, he led. But for that last minute, he was on the rope. How do you score that, right?
Exactly.
There's no wrong way. Mm-hmm. There's no wrong way because there's more than one way to skin a cat.
Mm.
And that's what we saw. Like, Canelo, look, Golovkin, we all know about Golovkin. And it's unfortunate that so many people, casual boxing fans, just now got on to him because he's so much older than he was when he was like a knockout machine. So he just doesn't have the power and the stamina to do what he once did. But we all know Golovkin likes to walk you down and likes to have his fighter right in front of him. He doesn't, there's nothing cute with Golovkin.
Yeah.
He's trying to throw heat-seeking missiles every time.
Mm-hmm.
Canelo stood right in front of him. And Golovkin couldn't touch him for many rounds. And that's what I'm saying. Like, both of them fought their, you know, had a hell of a fight. And, you know, kudos to both of them. But somebody had to win. As the cash cow of the sport and being literally golden boy, figuratively and literally, Canelo, he comes with the cachet. And yes, we all know this. If you're going to beat him, you can't leave any doubt. And Golovkin, you know, he's been the victim of that these last two fights. But he also was the beneficiary of that, if you remember the Danny Jacobs fight, right?
Yeah,
The A-side guy is always going to take more to beat the A-side guy.
Well, with all of the discussion about how close the fight was, one of the consensuses was that Canelo obviously was walking him down. That's a big reason why he won the fight. Also, Golovkin was resorting to jabs, which is on his trainer. Every time you heard his corner, you got to keep that jab up, keep that jab up. And at times they landed plush. But to me, a lot of those jabs were like pitter-patter jabs. And also, Canelo looked quicker. Those were the consensuses for me. Canelo looked much quicker, and part of that probably was because he was leaner coming into the fight.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I was talking to someone about this not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
Eastern European fighters specifically, we've seen this a lot. I guess you could go all the way back to the Klitschko brothers, but more recently with Sergey Kovalev and obviously with Golovkin, they use their jabs as power punches. You know what I mean? So.
Mm-hmm.
Golovkin was not only using it to find space, but a lot of his best punches were jabs.
It was so, stabbing. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's tough when you look at the jab numbers, you know, oh, man, he jabbed him to death. But in reality, those were a lot of power punches. Mm-hmm. But the fact is, like you said, Canelo's quickness was something. You know what I mean? Because there were rounds where he just wasn't, like, Golovkin wasn't hitting anything. Mm-hmm. And Golovkin was moving, but he wasn't working the outside. He was working the body shots. And that's another thing. Body shots are always hard to score at home.
So
you know what I mean?
Score. I
and,
know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Canelo was working the body. And unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, with a lot of people who watch the fight, you know, Jim Lampley, and that's a whole, and we can talk about HBO as a whole, you know what I mean? But it was clear, you know, they have, like, all of their eggs, and this is not me being hyperbolic, HBO boxing, all of their eggs now that Canelo is leaving are in the Golovkin basket, you know what I mean? So that's their guy. And you could tell by listening to Lampley, because so many of the clean body punches, they act like they didn't happen. You know what I mean?
I know. But Roy Jones was honest, though. I think Roy Jones was more on the side of saying, like, hey, like, Canelo. Even Max, too. Max was like, I can't believe the Letterman has his card that way. He thought that Max had Canelo easily winning the fight. Well, not easily, but he felt that Canelo had a decent lead on Triple G.
Yeah. And again, like, so when you look at it, and that's the thing, man. When I was a young boy, I was taught early on, man. Like, when you first start watching, again, with these big fights, a lot of casual fans come on, a lot of people who don't necessarily watch the fight, and I'm not judging. That's cool. You know what I mean? The more eyes on a sport that we all love, that's the better for the sport.
Mm-hmm.
But it's easy to influence people. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And again, HBO, they're on their last legs. If you look at just a year and a half, right? Yeah. They've lost Cotto. They've lost Bud. They've lost Lomachenko. Mm-hmm. They lost Andre Ward. Kovalev is not the fighter he once was. Roman Gonzalez is in the fight. You know, they've lost. Their stable of fighters are now down to literally Gennady Golovkin. So they are invested in him winning and him looking his best. And I'm not saying it was a conscious decision, but, you know, it behooves them, business-wise, for him to look the best. So if you're watching their fight, you can be influenced thinking, oh, well, yeah, he got robbed. But if you're not paying attention, if you're not knowing the small details, you know, body punches count just as much as jabs, just as much as hard right hooks. You know what I mean? They all count the same. And when you look at it from that perspective, again, if you think Golovkin won the fight, cool. It was that close. I thought Canelo won. But I'm in a close fight. There is no robbery. There is no outlandish decision. There wasn't a bird card where it was 118-110. It was 114-114 as a draw, and then two other judges 115-113. You can't get upset at that. It was that close of a fight.
No, I totally agree. Right now we have host of the Quarterly Report podcast, Armand Leon, online. So I had a draw. I had to fight a draw. I thought the last round was Triple G. But with all this happening, like how close this fight was, and we talked about this a little bit last week, do you think a trilogy is in play?
Yeah, I think they're going to run it back again. Because both fights were really fun. They were really exciting. Again, I haven't seen the pay-per-view buy yet for Saturday, so we'll get a better indicator on how likely it is. So, like, if they did as well as the first fight, I don't know if they will, only because of the momentum for this fight didn't feel real, and a lot of that is because of what Canelo had to deal with earlier in the year with his suspension, right? So if it's anywhere close to that first fight, then I think they run it back. Wally, you and I talked about this last week. I personally would like to see Jermall Charlo get in there with Canelo. I don't think Canelo wants that right now. But
Jermall Charlo, that's a puncher right there, boy.
But, I mean, that's the fight that I want to see. But, again, if you have two really, really good fights, one fight is a draw, both fights were very close, and I guess some people would say both are controversial. That's fine. And if it's making money, then I think they run it back. Canelo was smart. He waited until he knew he was ready for Golovkin. You know what I mean? Golovkin is older, is an older fighter. And I'm not saying that to knock Canelo. That's smart. Every A-side fighter that I can remember outside of De La Hoya fought guys when they were ready. You know, Roy did it. Floyd was a master at it. You know what I mean? You're seeing AJ do it with Deontay Wilder. Your A-side, you get to dictate things on your term. And Canelo, in terms of North American boxers, he's easily A-side. So he waited Golovkin out. And Golovkin is not the fighter he once was. So, and you saw Canelo stood there toe-to-toe. You could tell he learned so much in that first fight. He wasn't fighting in the perimeter. So he's comfortable with Golovkin's power, which is crazy when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Canelo at this point, when you look at how he finished the first fight and how much better he fought Saturday, I think he's comfortable with where he's at as it pertains to Golovkin, much more so than Charlo, so I think they run it back.
Yeah, you know what? I'm one of the ones that thinks I don't need to see this fight as a real boxing
right.
fan. You know, some of these casual boxing fans could watch that fight and they could point out, oh, Triple G's a taller fighter. He's got the longer reach. He's supposed to jab. But we know, like you said, when Triple G was in his prime, he was going to knock Canelo out. And Triple G
right.
also, his chin is amazing. Like, Canelo hit him with some shots. And he did not
he
didn't even blink, which is why right. I love Triple G and he gives a good fight. But I don't want to see a shell of him. You know, as a real boxing
right.
fan, I want to see Wilder, Joshua. I want to see Bud Crawford and Errol Spence. And locally,
right.
I want to see Jared Hurd versus the other Charlo, the one that talks more.
Right.
I can't even get the name Jermell. Right. Jermell.
Yeah,
there we go.
Jermell
is the more powerful one who would – he might knock Canelo out if Canelo
yeah.
tries to go toe-to-toe. But I just feel like just based on those three fights I named – does boxing really need a trilogy? But from a money standpoint, I totally get it.
Yeah, I don't think they need it. I think Canelo's in a good position. Him winning on Saturday was huge for him. Huge for the brand, huge for him kind of trying to restore 2018 and for Golden Boy moving forward, right? So he dealt with a lot. And him winning Saturday and with his scorecard, I think that's huge for him. Canelo, again, he's A-side. If we're breaking it down, the two biggest fighters in terms of generating money,
mm-hmm.
AJ and Canelo. So no matter what, those two guys are going to be fine.
Yeah.
Like you, mm-hmm. I want to see Jermall versus Canelo now. I don't want to see Canelo fight Danny Jacobs. I don't want to see Canelo fight Billy Joe Saunders. There's a lot of middleweights out there who are really good, really, really good middleweights. But I don't like you said, give me the fights. Like 2018. 2017, in terms of boxing, was a hell of a year. It may have been, in my lifetime as an adult, the best year of boxing start to finish that,
mm-hmm.
that I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
And 2018 has dropped the torch in that regard. We just didn't realize so many of the fights that we thought we were going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope
you're right.
for 2019 mm-hmm. sake, we get the Bud and Spencer's, even though I'm super
that's
doubtful.
Doubtful. That's not going to happen. I just threw it out there.
I don't think that's going to happen at all. Because at some point, and Wally, we talked about this last week, Spencer, he's going to move up, right? Charlo's going to move. Both Charlo, like, depending on what happens with Jermall, Jermall isn't going to fight at middleweight while his brother is dominating.
Mm-hmm.
And Spence, there's only so much that he's going to fight at 147.
Mm-hmm.
We could forecast the welterweight division. Hopefully, he goes through Sean. Hopefully, we get a Keith Spence fight. And at that point, we're looking at probably 2020. And he's, you know, that's just too much to ask for a fighter that big to stay down at 147 for, you know, two more years.
No,
so, mm-hmm. but yeah, we know who the best fighters are. You know, I want to see the best fight. Like that, I have
right.
been spoiled by 2017. I want to see the Spence's buzz. I want to see the Mikey versus Lomachenko's. I want to see the AJ and Wilder.
That's a good one.
And I don't want to see an old Golovkin ruin his legacy by, you know,
that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
And see, I want to see my man Gary Russell in Santa Cruz.
That hopefully
will happen next year because I haven't heard a thing yet which says Gary Russell just won fight for this year, which is frustrating. But anyway, it's another fight that's, I guess, been reported that could occur, which is the Manny Pacquiao and Floyd which I don't want to personally see that.
It's a draw regardless, though. It's a draw regardless.
Come on,
people,
man.
People act like it's not going to be a draw. It's going to be a draw. It is automatic going to be a draw.
Man.
It's automatic.
Would you pay for it?
Yeah, man.
I would never pay for it. That's, we're not talking about me.
Because I love y'all, man. Because I'm having such a fun time on Earth. I'm always keep it 100 with that. I'm always be real.
All right.
Keep it funky, man. I did not watch the first.
What? Neither did I.
I knew what was going to happen. I knew what had this fight. I'm 35, right? I remember going to the bar. I'm bald and 35, bro. I remember having locks in my 20s talking at the barbershop. Yo, who's gonna win between Manny and Floyd? Like, long before they fight.
Of course.
I knew what was going to happen. Everybody knew what was going to happen. Pacquiao's punching power had completely gone away.
Mm-hmm.
We knew that after seeing the Marquez, you didn't need to see the Marquez Marquez knocked him out,
yeah,
right? Mm-hmm. All of the fights that Marquez fought Manny would tell you, like, yeah, Manny struggled every single time he fought Marquez.
Yes, he did.
Marquez is a Hall of Famer. God bless him. He's one of the best of his generation. But he's a B-minus Floyd Mayweather. And Floyd picked him apart coming out of retirement, remember?
Mm-hmm.
So I knew what was going to happen. And I knew it wasn't going to be an exciting fight because I knew Manny wasn't going to be disciplined enough. He was going to be throwing those haymakers.
Yeah.
So I remember that night. I watched Game 7 first round playoff series with the Spurs and the Clippers. I remember vividly telling everybody, I'm not watching that fight. So there ain't no way in hell I'm going to watch it now. But you guys are right. It is going to draw. Floyd finds himself in a position that most athletes never get to, where he is bigger than his respective sport, right?
Yeah.
Tiger Woods is very much in that same position. So many people know about Tiger, and when Tiger is in contention for a major, people watch.
Exactly.
But not too many people can tell you the top 10 in golf right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They can tell you Tiger, they can't tell you anything else. Floyd is very much in that same position. People know about Floyd. And unfortunately for boxing, Floyd became bigger than the sport. So everybody thought boxing was boring, and every single boxer fought defensively, and every boxer has all their bravado, and they hit women, and all this other stuff. Because Floyd, the only person who got on SportsCenter or got on First Take for like 5 years was Floyd. So he overshadows all the great young fighters. And it's not Floyd's responsibility to be an ambassador for the sport of boxing. But he will draw. He fought Conor McGregor and drew. But I don't know if it's good for the sport for them to run it back, especially at this point. Because, you know, yeah, they'll make money, but are we going to be intrigued by the fight? We know it's not going to be entertaining. You know what I mean? We know what they're going to do for the bill. We know everything about this fight. It's because both of these guys probably are in financial, you know, in a tough financial spot. And it's a money grab. And God bless them. You know, that's their earning potential. But I have no interest in seeing these guys fight.
Yeah, Bert Sugar's rolling over in his grave, man. You hit on everything. I really can't add much to it except that boxing purists don't want to see this fight.
Look,
but the casual fan that doesn't know much, that watches Serena only when watch women tennis when only Serena's there, will be like, oh, Floyd's fighting. Just like I didn't watch the Conor fight. I'm like, no, ridiculous. Conor didn't look like a boxer.
That was a joke.
So
I did see that fight, though, I think.
You might have just for the social. You just do stuff for the social aspect, which is fine. And again, boxing will tap into whatever. But I think that just off the fights that we name that we're looking forward to or that we hope to see, boxing, again, doesn't necessarily need that. I wouldn't even approve this fight. But, of course, it's money involved, so it's going to happen. If Floyd really wants to fight. Floyd shouldn't be in no financial trouble, but, you know, 50 always taking shots at him. So he can't read people cheating him. You never know.
I must be the only one because I kind of want to see the fight. I kind of want to see it. But I like Manny.
Okay.
I've always been a Manny guy, though. I've always been a Manny guy, though, so.
So you want to watch the fight?
Yeah.
What do you think happens? Like, because I feel like even as a Manny fan, who's the guy he just beat? His name is he just fought.
You're talking about Matisse. Lucas Matisse?
Oh, yeah, Matisse. I was, like, in Japan or something. It was his first knockout in God knows how long.
I know,
like,
right? Yeah.
So we know what's going on. We know what's going to happen. Like, how do you think this fight differs? Like, what's the intriguing? I know it will draw. I'm not arguing. So many people will watch it. But why do you want
to
see
it? Oh, here's the intrigue. Because Manny's going to move to Mexico to train. He's going to eat that meat. And he's going to get swole all over again.
Manny's
and he's going to get stronger as the fight goes on.
Right. Manny's shoulders going to be right.
He's not going to juice.
He's not going to do that bull crap when he wasn't aggressive enough. He's going to actually try to really, like, crowd Mayweather. He didn't crowd him enough.
Nah, he's eating carne asada steaks, baby. Mexican meat, and he's going to get strong as the fight goes, so he's going to knock Floyd out
because
he's
going to
be juiced up.
Filipino, man. What's for Filipino? He's from Philippines.
Yeah, spring rolls, I guess. I don't know. I should say. That's terrible.
That's terrible, bro.
Sorry about that. I don't know what the man needs.
I mean, I'm not going to hate on anybody. Y'all, you know, boxing is entertainment, man. So some people want to, you know, if you like it, I love it. I don't know. It just doesn't move me at all. When I saw Floyd talking, because he was so comfortable in his position that, yo, man, I'm done. I'm 50, you know.
Too comfortable.
I'm done. I'm not coming out of retirement. And then you start seeing about the IRS. He owes money.
Mm-hmm.
50, like y'all said, he started chirping. Like, you've made so much money, man. You fought. You literally had the real life version of the Great White Hype a year ago, and they talking about fighting in December.
Like, December. They talking about fighting December. I know that's what's getting me. December. Like, yeah. That's when you know it. The fight. I ain't gonna lie to you. That's when I knew the fight ain't serious. Like December.
Yeah.
Like what? Right. Are you like December?
Yeah, it's a joke. It's unfortunate too because, like you said, that would cap off a bad year for boxing. If you ask
man,
me,
I'm not saying all that. Man. I ain't saying all that though. But still,
now if you look back, we just saw it. We're in September now. We just saw the most memorable fight of the year.
No, I agree.
We
I
had
totally
some
agree.
Good fights, like I you know, agree. J-Rock and Jermall was. I liked that fight because I felt like Jermall was down in that fight before he knocked him out. So we've seen some decent fights as boxing fans, but that big fight that people craved for, we finally got it this weekend, and we're almost in, what, the 10th month of the year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, AJ's fighting, what, this weekend? Or is it next weekend? So he's fighting Povetkin. But yeah. No, unless, I mean, like, there's really no, everybody knows in the heavyweight division. Even later on this year when Fury fights Deontay, none of that matters, really, right? Ooh, because we want Deontay versus Wilder. We didn't get it. Beginning of this year, we thought, okay, end of the year, we'll get Keith versus Errol. Didn't happen. You know what I'm saying? After the Linares fight, we thought that, okay, possibly Mikey versus Lomachenko. Didn't happen. So, you know, it's all these fights that are being built up and never coming to. I mean, there was even a time that we thought that Gervonta was going to finally get Lomachenko as well. That didn't happen. So all of the top fighters are like kind of like in this, like on a taxi, like taxiing the runway. And they're all right around each other, but no one's getting in there and scrapping. Mm-hmm. We got it this Saturday, but I don't know when the next one comes. And unfortunately, like you said, Manny versus Floyd happens at the end of the year. That'll probably be a trash fight. Right?
I'm so really messed up, Armand.
and that will be the fight that we were. That will be a microcosm of the year in boxing for 2018. Like Floyd, watch Floyd, watch Manny fighting for bucks. And everybody else is kind of looking, sitting in place, sitting still on the runway, just casting around stuff.
What happens if Manny wins, though? What happens if he wins, though? Like, seriously, though, what happens if
Manny wins? It's still tainted. Join with the Wizards.
Think about it, though. So, right, what happens? So, if Manny beats Floyd, Floyd's completely tainted. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He probably fights another fight because he's not going to want to end his career on a loss. So. Yeah. His legacy continues to get tarnished. Uh-huh. If Manny beats Floyd, Manny ain't stupid. I hope somebody will be like, yo, Manny, chill. Because you then run the risk of Manny being like, okay, maybe I should fight Bud now. Okay, maybe I should fight. And then now you run the risk of getting hurt. You know what I'm saying? Because then that's just, he'll make more money. You know what I mean? Because at that point, you know, who knows if he fights Lomachenko on a catch weight?
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of bad blood between Bob Arum now and Manny, so who knows what happens there. Maybe Manny decides to go with Al Haymon after, you know, two lucrative fights with Floyd. Maybe he decides to fight with Spence. Uh-huh. But then he gets hurt even worse. Uh-huh. So it's like, yo, what happens? Then Manny just becomes kind of like, a leaping point, like where people just take off. They use him as a
gatekeeper,
stepping
stone. Like a gatekeeper.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, gatekeeper. I call
them exactly. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know. I mean, he clearly needs the money. So if that's what he wants, again, God bless him. But he's running the risk of getting hurt. Floyd's not going to hurt him. We know that.
Yeah.
But he's not going. If he beats Floyd, he's not stopping there, and that becomes problematic because these young boys at 147, 140, they can hurt him. They literally can and will hurt him. So. You know, like that's not anything to play around with.
Yeah, they kill us. The young boys, they kill us. But Armand, before I let you go, let our listeners know about your podcast and also what they can get you on social media.
Yeah, man. Each and every Thursday, the Quarterly Report podcast, man. You guys, make sure you check it out, man. It's fun. It's boxing. It's NBA. It's football. It's sports, but it's sports unlike anything else. It's a podcast, but I promise you, it's a podcast. It's unlike anything you've ever heard. We have fun. It's not long. And we have fun, and you know, we break it down and we give it in a flavor that's unique to us in the culture. And make sure you follow me on Twitter on the social media front, Quarterly Report. That's Q-U-A-R-T-E-R-L-E-E Quarterly Show. Q-U-A-R-T-E-R-L-E-E Show on Twitter.
Armand, thanks for being on. We expected just to have you talking Triple G, and we end up talking Mayweather. That's how good of a voice and personality that you are, man.
Hey, man, thanks for having me on, man. It was a lot of fun, man. I can't wait to have you guys on my show coming up.
Anytime, man. Appreciate y'all, man.
All right, bro.
All right. Again, that is Armand Lee.
Overtime host. With the Urban Sports Scene.
I know, right? That's Armand Lee, host of the Quarterly Report podcast. So make sure you check him out. Yeah, no, overtime with the Urban Sports Scene. We doing big things, man.
Yeah, most definitely. I got the chance to meet him briefly at the Round Ball Report. It's not one of those times where I appeared on the show, but he was at the time, and it was a fun discussion. This was right at the time the Wizards had drafted. Who did they draft?
Oh, the guard?
I can't think of his name right now.
Was it Brown?
You know, the funny thing is, I
can't think of his name either.
I'm getting ready to say a different
Morgan,
name because
dude
of
from Oregon, right?
Who I thought they should have drafted.
Oh, the dude from I'm forgetting his name too. The dude played
Robert.
Boston. Robert Williams.
Williams, yeah. That's who I was getting ready to say, but I can't even remember right now, top of my head, who the Wizards drafted. But anyway, cool dude, great insight, hilarious man. We got to continue to link up.
Oh, definitely. Again, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces. A Mega. Lead us out, big homie.